Halloween, live from the studio that never sleeps. This is Salute Your Sports on KCOU 88.1 FM. I'm Zach Berman, along with Chris Mitchell, and James is floating around the nether realm somewhere. So, to call an audible straight from the land of triple threat, Mr. Cole Tusing.
Hi, how's it going, you know, everybody? Of course, you know, Zach, you came on Triple Threat earlier, 11 a.m. to noon, so feels like I'm right back on KCU, especially in this cold weather, but, you know, happy Halloween to all.
Stay warm, yeah. Stay safe.
And, yeah, all that jazz. Well, I guess we got to talk about Mizzou football, right?
Unfortunately. Oh, boy. I mean, unfortunately, we don't want to talk about it, but there's a lot to address, so sure.
Yeah, we should probably talk about it. So Mizzou lost to Kentucky.
Remember when I picked them to win?
Yeah, I also picked them to win. No, you picked Kentucky to win. Oh, but it was by like a field goal.
No, I picked Mizzou to win on the pregame, and then
okay.
I ended up picking Kentucky.
You came around. Yeah. Anyways, 29-7 advantage Wildcats. Kentucky's now 4-4. Mizzou is now 5-3.
But it feels like they're 1-7.
Yeah, they definitely were playing like a 1-7 team, but let's get into the meat and potatoes of what exactly has been going on. I guess for the box score, we could talk about, shoot.
It was just ugly, ugly, ugly. If you thought they came out uninspired at Vanderbilt, geez, this was just...
Well, I feel like their first mistake was the fact that they passed the ball 29 times.
In the pouring rain.
In the pouring rain, which, I mean, if you can learn anything from a matchup between Notre Dame and North Carolina State, it's that you should never pass the football more than 15 times in the rain.
When you have a running quarterback.
When you have a running quarterback.
And two good running backs. Why are you throwing the ball?
We'll get into that later. But first, we need to talk about Lynn Bowden, the converted wide receiver into third-string quarterback, who carried the ball 21 times. For 204 yards, two touchdowns.
And Mizzou proceeded to make him look like Lamar Jackson.
Yep. Only passed the ball seven times, which, you know, good play calling there by Eddie Grant, I think.
He went downfield a lot.
He did. 3 for 7, 54 yards. Sawyer Smith only completed one pass for 9 yards. Asim Rose, their second leading rusher, I believe he had like 54 yards or 51 yards on 15 carries, one touchdown. Their punter, Max Duffy, had like 26 yards on a fake punt that absolutely worked. And yeah, Kentucky scored 22 unanswered points to lead things into halftime. And Mizzou just cannot get anything going. Kelly Bryant, 10 for 19, 130 yards, one touchdown.
It was just uninspired. Bland, bad football. The exact opposite of what I thought Mizzou was going to come out and play like.
I mean, you know, when you talk about, you know, the comeback game, especially losing to Vanderbilt, and the penalties is what killed you against Vanderbilt. And similar situation here. They had way more penalties against Kentucky. But it's just, this is not the same team we thought would be a dark horse in the SEC. This is not a dark horse. This is not the team that was ranked nationally. This is not the team that started off 5-1. This is a team that really should be winless. This is how they're playing right now.
They're 0-2. They're 0-2 right now, so what's up?
All right. I don't want to go through the whole Barry Odom thing again. We already know the opinions of many a people in this station. If you want to, I don't think I can deliver a better Barry Odom take than the one that Josh and Chance and myself.
I mean, I have my own personal Barry Odom take.
What is it?
If Mizzou ends the year on 5 wins, Barry Odom needs to be fired.
I think he needs to be fired right now. But
if he ends the season on 5 wins, he needs to be fired.
Do yourself a favor and just somehow, some way, find that post-game archive, because it was angry, it was glorious, it was beautiful. It's the reason why KCOU is the way it is. And speaking of KCOU, it's definitely worth bringing up that today...
46 years ago.
KCLU's 46th birthday.
Oh, we got something for it.
We do.
Man.
So, happy birthday to the people that created this station. Thank you for setting the tone and giving us students a foundation to build off of. We really appreciate it. We hope to continue the legacy. And it's just another day at the office for us, I guess.
Yeah, I guess. What else do we want to talk about? I guess we talk about, I guess, the one highlight. The one shining note in the sea of nothing. And that's Nick Bolton, who
is by a hook or superstar. By crook,
the best linebacker on the team right now. Probably the best defensive player the team has right now, outside of maybe DeMarcus AC.
Cale Garrett.
I mean, playing right now.
Yeah, playing right now.
Playing right now. I mean, if it was between Nick Bolton and Cale Garrett, Cale Garrett probably has the edge. But if we're going off of availability being the best ability, then Nick Bolton, and then on top of that, he's just a beast everywhere else.
It just cracks me up because Mizzou fans are so cynical, and yet after that Ole Miss game, if someone had told me, yeah, no, Mizzou's going to get creamed by both Vanderbilt and Kentucky, and Barry Odom's going to go from possibly one of the better coaches in the SEC reputation-wise to he needs to be fired right here and right now in the span of 2 weeks, we would have laughed, but we would have been like, yeah, no. I mean, too cynical. There's no way that's actually.
I know there was
happen.
Like preseason expectations with Kelly Bryant going 10-2 undefeated, going to Athens, which is in 2 weeks. Mizzou is on the bye right now,
and we'll get to Athens more.
Yeah,
next
we'll
week.
Get to Athens, but
hopefully,
I guess
actually get out.
The
there.
Question I have to ask you guys, since I'm the host. I mean, excuse me, I'm the guest.
The host.
Oh, what? What?
Back huh? up. No. Back up.
Wait a second. Hold up. What?
See, if James were here, I'd have all the sound effects ready. But
unfortunately, so, we do not.
What
not
I meant to
case.
Say was, as I'm the guest, is are you at all surprised the expectations were go 10-2, 11-1? But in reality, this is how things are really going, where Barry Odom needs to be fired and you really lose to Vanderbilt, Kentucky on the road. You're winless on the road.
It's unacceptable, but then again, I don't run the team.
I mean, well, have me be the coach of Missouri, you know, why not?
I mean, I feel like it's kind of goofy. This is from like an 8-4, 9-3 guy. It was kind of goofy just to like set up all these high expectations of like 10-2, 11-1. The schedule is easy, but
it's Mizzou.
Yeah. So you should probably keep it under like, I don't know. Of course, like especially versus like other parts of the team, maybe aren't like super high tier.
But the team's strength, I thought, was going to be the offense. And something's just wrong with Kelly Bryant. Just the way he's been running around the field, the way he's been seeing receivers, the way he's been throwing the ball, something's up. And this team lives and dies with Kelly Bryant. And when they die, they die hard.
And this team can't live or die by Kelly Bryant, unfortunately. There needs to be someone who can be a spark plug on offense.
That we should know, be Albert O.
But
why isn't he touching the ball? He is a mismatch for almost any defender you put up against him, and he's going to be a solid to upper-tier tight end in the NFL. So why isn't he getting the football thrown to him?
Yeah, it definitely is weird because Albert Grabenom is the best tight end in the SEC, and
in college
according
football,
to,
he's the best.
According to Mel Kiper Jr. in the NFL draft board, he's the second best tight end in the nation.
Who's the best?
I think it's the guy from Washington, if I'm not mistaken.
I mean, the guy from Penn State's pretty good.
Yeah.
Freiermuth, he's good.
I'm going to assume I know who all these people are and be like, I agree. They're pretty high on my draft board as well, too. Many teams should draft these tight ends.
I was quoting what Mel Kiper Jr. says.
Well,
that can get you up somewhere.
I mean,
anyways,
see, normally this is where we put in the opponent for this week. And this week, of course, is Barry Odom's most dangerous opponent, the dreaded bye.
And he's probably still going to lose.
Yeah, Mizzou's not. Well, Mizzou's bye week, 3 p.m. SEC Network alternate. No, I just wish. It's going to be a quiet weekend on set. There is a basketball exhibition game on Friday.
That is true, and we'll probably cover it, right?
We are covering it.
That's right. I totally knew that off the cuff.
I believe it's Nash and Nolte on the call for that.
Ooh, that's right.
So, good call. Definitely listen in.
All that jazz.
The call will probably be better than the game.
Okay, so before we shift away from...
I don't really know. There's not that much to talk about in the football side.
Do you want to talk about the offensive line? Because I feel like it took a...
Wait, what offensive line?
This is what I mean.
Yeah, so that's the question. What offensive line does Missouri have?
Well, let me finish, because I don't think people expected the offensive line to take that much of a dip, even though, like, two seniors left. I held up three fingers, and I said two. I'm good at math, guys.
I don't know how the team took that much of a dip between Ole Miss and Vander. I don't get it.
Yeah, the thing is, you know, we talk about the O-line, like, there's a big problem when the O-line looked great against Troy, South Carolina, Ole Miss, even West Virginia even, and it completely got destroyed against Vanderbilt and Kentucky on the road. Like, the O-line looked decent previously in the season.
Like, Barry Odom is snake-bitten against Kentucky. We all know that. But Vanderbilt, that's where I draw the line.
I mean, my main problem with Vanderbilt on the O-line was... You had three defensive linemen Vanderbilt against five O-line guys from Mizzou, and Mizzou still got destroyed in those situations.
I don't know. So let's be honest here. It's going to be nice not to talk about football. So we're going to go to break real fast. When we come back, somebody who is an esteemed alumni of this school has a ring in a certain sport, acquired said ring last night. We're going to talk to you about it. And this is Salute Your Sports. We will be right back.
On KCOU 88.1 FM. Catch Kyle Jones.
And so then he said, all right, well, I can't wear my helmet. I'm not playing.
Chance Stickland.
I think that Bama every single year is the best college football team.
And Cole Tusey. If Trubisky can get it done, the Bears will win a Super Bowl. He's the key. Tune in every Thursday morning from 11 to noon only on KCOU 88.1 FM, KCOU.FM, or on the TuneIn app. You don't want to miss it.
Indoor baseball, anyone?
Most party fouls are pretty dumb, but if you decide to drink and drive underage, you could lose your license and your freedom. Learn more at ultimatepartyfoul.org. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
KCOU presents Thunder Jackson at Rose Music Hall, November 7th, along with Sissy Paycheck. Doors open at 7, show starts at 8.
Listening to Salute Your Sports on KCOU 88.1 FM. Zach Berman, Chris Mitchell, Cole Tusing. Do we have an ad read?
I don't think so.
We don't have an ad read. We also don't have the music. You know the good stuff. James, wherever you are, we miss you. You're our only hope. So we're going to talk baseball.
Yeah, we should talk about baseball a little bit.
We should definitely talk about baseball.
Shout out to the God, Max Scherzer.
The God,
the goat,
two-colored eye God, Mizzou legend Max Scherzer getting his ring. And the Washington Nationals. That's right. The Montreal Expos.
Do the Expos fans claim the Nationals still?
No, they don't.
Okay. Is it just strictly Maple Leafs now?
There's an Expos fan Twitter account that like went on a rant last night, like, this is not my team. Vive la Montreal, something like that.
That's fair.
Shout out to Montreal.
Shout out to Montreal.
Yeah, no.
What's their hockey team?
Les Canadiens.
The Canadiens. Did I say... I said something. I said some hockey team that's not Montreal-based. Oh, well.
You said the Nordiques?
No.
Is it Quebec Nordiques?
I don't think so. Anyways.
Okay.
I didn't watch any of this World Series, but what? I heard it was pretty big. Listen, I had stuff to do.
The first time in MLB history where a series has gone 7 games.
And the home team never won a single game.
Home team never won. That is unheard of.
That's pretty funny, actually. I'm really glad that actually happened.
I am really glad it happened. DC deserved it. There are so many players in that roster that really deserved a ring, like Ryan Zimmerman.
Yeah.
He's been there since how long?
Fernando Rodney.
Anthony Rendon. About to get paid.
Sean Doolittle, the god, the goat. Love that
dude.
Looks
like a Mission Impossible villain.
That's right. Got that strong beard. Who else?
Asdrubal Cabrera, formerly of the New York Mets.
Howie Kendrick.
The clutch Howie Kendrick.
Clutch. That's right, folks. He's clutch now.
Howie Kendrick. Never thought that would be the name coming into this playoffs that we would be talking about coming out of it.
Yeah. Well, hey, man. Baseball's funny like that sometimes.
In the words of great Yankee broadcaster John Sterling, that's baseball, Susan.
Hey, man. This is baseball. Let's talk about Fontbonne real quick.
Talk about what?
Chris, what's Fontbonne? Well, let me tell you. It is a D3 college out somewhere in, like, the St. Louis area, and they played against the Mizzou women's basketball team on Tuesday night,
Did
and
they
got
win?
Whooped.
How bad?
They got whooped, fella. 121-40. 40, bruh.
Oh, my gosh.
The leading scorer was Ellie Brown, who was just white hot coming out of halftime. Just could not miss a shot to save her life. Aisha Blackwell had 16 points. Haley Frank had 17. Hannah Schutz had 14. The Fontbonne Griffins, shot 23% from the field last night and turned the ball over 37 times. Chris, what can we sort of divulge from this? This is a D3 school against a AP-ranked Mizzou basketball women's basketball team.
I mean, does it really matter?
What can we parse from this? Well,
it's a glorified practice.
It is a glorified practice, but we can parse the fact that, one, Ellie Brown looks really good. Two, Aisha Blackwell just can get whatever kind of look she wants, no matter like where it is on the floor. She can get that turnover. She can get that bucket. She can get that shot. She can pass. She can throw that dime. It does not matter. She can pretty much do it all, really, which is about how she was advertised, which is very good. I'm super down for that. And outside of that, oh, yeah, Amber Smith also had 13 points on her own. And, yeah, I believe regular season kicks off, shoot, I want to say next week? Or
feels
I think
like
so.
Too soon.
That's right. Next Tuesday.
Against?
Western Illinois. 7 p.m. Guess what? We'll probably have coverage for it. It'll probably start at 6 o'clock.
We definitely have coverage for it.
There's your ad read. Tune into Mizzou women's basketball coverage on KCLU 88.1 FM and KCLU.FM. I don't know who's on the call. I don't know who's in the studio, but they'll be there. It'll be great. You'll love it. We'll love it.
Chris,
that's
Cole,
Mizzou basketball.
Which basketball games are you calling?
So, for Mizzou women's basketball, since that's the conversation, I'm going to be traveling down to Kansas City with Case Rosenberg to call the Mizzou-Kansas City game. I think it's December 7th?
Ooh, shoot.
At UMKC.
At UMKC.
Hey, man.
Mizzou men's?
Shout out to the Rose.
And then Mizzou men's.
That's Mizzou.
I can't remember who I'm...
That's Mizzou women's.
Oh.
Yeah, I can't remember.
Mizzou men's not going to UMKC.
Yeah. I can't remember who the opponent is, but I'm on the call with grandfather Josh Neighbors.
Oh, yeah.
I am
Radio
going
Grandpa.
To not one, but two major men's road games this year.
Ooh.
By myself, and I cannot wait.
Ooh, what are they? Are we allowed to talk about it yet?
Oh, we are absolutely allowed to talk about it.
Where are you going, Berman?
I am going to Temple.
Oh, geez.
To Philadelphia.
The city of brotherly
December
love.
December 7th.
That's right.
And then...
The city of...
A little bit of a ways away.
City of Rocky. Larry Krasner and Meek Mill.
Saturday, December 25, me, myself, and I will be recording live from the greatest city on earth, January 25th.
Oh, I was about to say
December 25th.
Greatest city on earth, city that never sleeps, Morgantown, West Virginia. I will have the call for the Big Ten, Big 12 SEC Challenge, which will be Mizzou, West Virginia, live from WVU Coliseum. Yes, dang, that's the name of the building.
Shout out to Charleston. AEW Wednesday Night Dynamite was at Charleston Arena.
Well, I'm not going to be really spending much of any time in West Virginia. I'm just flying into Pittsburgh and spending the weekend there. And then just
that's fine. Get some Yinzer dogs in your system.
Oh, absolutely. Got to get some Permane Bros. Yeah. Steelers are not going to be in.
Can you give me some Pitt merch with like their new colors?
Venmo me. I will get you Pitt merch. Maybe I will even bring Mizzou football a Pat Narduzzi.
Ooh. I don't know how much I want that.
Hey, you can beat top teams in the road.
True. I guess we can see how Pitt finishes off this year and maybe next year. And then we'll see where we're talking about Pat Narduzzi. At the moment, I'm very much...
Just buy out Mike Leach. Jim Sterk, if you're listening, please buy out Mike Leach.
The
games will be entertaining. The press conferences.
Just go poach Kansas's offensive coordinator.
No, just poach Mike Leach. I want to have that opportunity in these post-game pressers. Instead of these Tuesday afternoon snooze fests, I need Mike Leach coming in and spouting whatever. That would be so much fun for the journalism community here.
I feel like we already get enough with whatever energy Barry Odom brings, depending on the day.
Well, I mean,
think of the type of energy after Vanderbilt and Kentucky.
Energy?
Yeah. I think we talked about this earlier, at least I did. Just how, I don't know, inert everything feels. They just feel like, clock in, clock out, show up on the field, and then
and
go
look
home.
Good while doing it. Let's be real. I love the jerseys.
Jerseys look good.
But you cannot be making these flashy jersey promos before these games.
Sure you can. Because that's not on them. Whooped. It's on the football team. It's not on their PR department to show up for these games.
I know. But still, as an Oregon fan, I watched Oregon go flashy, flashy, flashy. And then 2016, they got so flashy that they just stopped winning. And then after that, they went back to basics. You know what Oregon's doing right now? They're just chilling at number 7 in the AP poll.
Oh, shoot.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. I guess losing to Auburn doesn't really mean that much in the grand scheme of things.
Considering that...
Unless you're Georgia.
considering that we had some, shakeups in the polls this past weekend.
That is true.
The Sooner Schooner imploding.
I was at that game.
You were at that OU game?
Yeah, I was. Oh, my God. That game was amazing.
Well, sometimes life imitates art. And for
K-State beating Oklahoma,
for all you OU fans, that was just a bad, bad episode of foreshadowing.
Foreshadowing? You thought it was foreshadowing?
As soon as the Sooner Schooner broke, I was like, okay. Oklahoma's going to suffer like some cataclysmic loss soon.
K-State's not that cataclysmic. They're okay.
It's cataclysmic when you're playing...
They beat TCU, who beat Texas.
It's cataclysmic when you play in a terrible conference.
TCU beat Texas, everybody. I don't know if you knew this.
Also, Kansas being Texas Tech, crazy thing. But I guess looking ahead, a lot of one-loss teams got upset. So do you think any of these one-loss teams are going to make the college football playoff between Georgia, Oklahoma, and Wisconsin, and Oregon?
Oregon, maybe.
So between Georgia...
there are a bunch of one-loss teams that I'm not counting out yet.
So between Georgia, Wisconsin,
Who else is sitting pretty with one loss? Utah?
Oregon. Oklahoma. Yeah, that's Utah? What I was thinking.
Not Utah. Unless they like...
Oh, not Utah.
Unless they
I'm
win
just
the,
naming... Just naming...
Unless they like went out in the Pac-12, which...
Wake Forest is 6-1.
Oh.
And Clemson is vulnerable.
Yeah, I don't think they'll lose a game, though, unless Wake Forest does something absolutely bonkers in the ACC title game.
How about the undefeated 12th-ranked? Who saw this coming? Baylor Bears.
Yeah. Well, there is a scenario in which the Baylor Bears could go to the playoff.
It's a pretty simple one. They just have to keep winning.
They just have to keep winning.
Baylor goes undefeated?
They have to keep...
Baylor wins out, they're automatically in.
That is true.
Would it be like the UCF rule again?
No, Baylor's Power 5. Of course, it's not... No UCF.
And it's Big 12, and you beat Oklahoma, which, okay, I mean, they lost to K-State, but still, that's beating Oklahoma.
Okay, yeah, that's fair.
and maybe Texas. And Texas. You got to be Texas,
too. You go undefeated in a Power 5 conference, which I guess isn't that hard. Automatically make it in. Until we have a scenario where a team goes undefeated in a Power 5 school and automatic and doesn't make it in. Then things get weird. But College Game Day.
That can happen.
Not going to a Power 5 game this weekend.
That's right.
Staying. They are going to Memphis.
Memphis SMU.
Hey, raise your hand if you thought SMU was going to be the best college football team in Texas. Well, I sure did. Not. But
hey,
it's funny, though.
Don't disrespect the Baylor Bears like that.
That is true. Oh, man. Can they play in the Texas Bowl? Is that allowed?
Fun reminder.
The True Sons of Texas.
SMU has only ever been featured in one other College Game Day game. It was at Houston. It was 2010. And that game day show will be avidly remembered for Lee Corso saying a bad four-letter word that starts with the letter F on air.
Oh, yeah. Wouldn't he get a pick like the Mustangs? It was like, ah.
Yeah.
Coons,
yeah.
Baby. Which.
Except he said.
Yeah.
The one word.
Huh.
That you can never say on television.
That is true. One of the seven. Anyways.
Lee Corso is invincible and.
He'll never retire. He's probably retired right now. He just hasn't told anybody.
You know who's going to replace him, though? Pat McAfee. Don't give me that look.
I'm thinking about it.
When we come back. Halloween shenanigans, spooky, scary, salute your sports. We will be right back.
I'm Chris Mitchell. You know, that one guy from The One Show. Don't you hate it when you're listening to the radio and not once do you hear anyone talk about video games for extended periods of time? Introducing Quarter Circle Backboard, a solo show dedicated to the sports that you like and the video games that I like. Catch me, myself, and I every Friday from 11 to midnight to hear me chop it up about things like Street Fighter tournaments, the NFL Draft, Red Dead Redemption, and Hoops!
Act has it, his jumper is short.
Oh, and now a fight breaks out between Kobe Bryant and Chris Childs.
Chris Childs punched him twice!
What could possibly go wrong?
Most party fouls are pretty dumb, but if you decide to drink and drive underage, you could lose your license and your freedom. Learn more at ultimatepartyfoul.org. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
KCOU presents Thunder Jackson at Rose Music Hall, November 7th, along with Sissy Paycheck. Doors open at 7, show starts at 8.
Thank you for finding us.
You're welcome. I knew this has been in here for like months.
So good. All right. We are back on Salute Your Sports on this chilly Thursday afternoon.
That's right. The sun's out now, so there's that.
Still cold.
True.
Still a little bit snow on the ground.
Just a reminder, listen to KCOU 88.1 FM for Sports Saturday this weekend, Sans Sports. Just going to be a whole lot of talk show shenanigans.
There's a whole lot of, yeah, whole lot of jabberjaw.
Are we going on Saturday?
I am. QCB is, but I don't know about Salute Your Sports.
We got to go on.
We can probably go on like next week, probably.
I might be in Athens. But let's save this discussion for another time because. Right.
There is a certain threshold for which I am able to do shows on Saturday.
There is also a certain threshold for a Halloween candy throwdown.
Ooh, that's right.
And This is the only time of the year where you can have this discussion. So I know Garrett doesn't like this word, but I'm going to go with, what is your hot take on Halloween candy? Chris?
Like a specific kind of Halloween candy, or what do you mean?
Overrated, underrated.
See, I'm kind of strapped in this area because I'm not a super big chocolate fan, so that cuts me out of 65% of all candy-related discussions. But I will say this, though. Airheads, kind of mid.
I agree.
Because if you try to give me Airheads...
mini Airheads are good.
I feel like when I was a kid, I was like, oh, yeah, Airheads. But now that I've grown up, I'm 21, I'm old and wise, and I'm like, Airheads don't really slap.
Yeah, Airheads are fine. It's just if you see them at a party or something, you'll have them. But, like, if you're given the choice between Airheads or anything.
I want an Airhead.
Yeah, no, exactly.
No one's like, yeah, just give me that Airhead. Because you're just chewing on them forever, and you can feel, like, the sugar, like, rotting your teeth as you're eating. It takes forever, and it gets stuck in there, too. Great advertisement for dentists, though.
Yeah.
Cool. Which, anyways, what you got?
So, I am with you on that because I'm not much of a chocolate person, ever have been. But
all right, I'm back.
My go-to candy, especially on Halloween, is Sour Patch Kids.
Good choice. Ooh. Watermelons.
Ah.
Watermelons. No, you lost me there. Watermelons.
What's your favorite color? I'm a yellow guy. I'm a lemon yellow flavor guy. I don't know why.
Yellow's my favorite color. Let's go yellow.
I'm not super into Sour Patch Kids, so I couldn't tell you.
Okay. I just love sour things.
I'm a chocolate guy. Tough choice. Most overrated candy bar? For you peanut butter lovers out there, I think Reese's are overrated.
Ooh, talk about it.
I'm sorry.
Tell them about themselves.
Take Five is the best peanut butter candy.
Ooh, haven't heard of that one before.
Ooh.
Take Five is good. Now, if we're talking underrated, I am a peanut butter guy. I might lose you here. Payday.
Ooh.
I've actually never had a Payday. I don't think I've ever seen a Payday before.
Fuego.
I don't think I've ever seen a Payday before.
I mean, they sell them all over campus.
I'll have to think about that, but the only chocolate candy that I will always like or whatever is Kit Kat.
Dark chocolate Kit Kat.
That's fair.
No, not dark chocolate.
I'm sorry.
What is up with dark chocolate?
I like dark chocolate. I've always...
It's better for you, apparently.
I know it's better for you, but
it better. I don't care if it's better for me.
I can't get over dark chocolate.
Inconsequential.
What is the point of people inventing dark chocolate? I don't get it.
I don't think it's the fact that they invented dark chocolate.
My gosh.
I think it's the fact that they did something to dark chocolate, which turned it into milk chocolate, which, there you go.
Milk chocolate is great.
Hold up. I got some news. Are either of y'all movie people?
A lot.
What you got?
Very.
We're about to get an announcement for a sequel to my favorite movie of last year.
Is it a horror film?
No, it is not.
So we can't get in the spoopy Halloween scene, okay?
No, but people dress up like this dude every Halloween. Pretty much, I'm pretty sure like 35% of all Halloween costumes are related to...
Do you think you...
Spider-Man.
Oh, no, you got it. Okay.
Wait, what?
Sony Pictures has just announced that...
Well, not really.
They're teasing at something.
They're being cryptic. They're being like, our spider sense is tingling.
Something is tingling. Our spidey sense is tingling. Retweet of yours is too... They are about to announce a sequel to Into the Spider-Verse.
Yeah. That's
Into the Spider-Verse?
Yeah.
Ooh.
Probably something like that.
And I'm going to tweet yes, yes, yes to that.
Yeah, hit him with that Daniel Bryan. Yes.
That's great.
Spider-Verse
that was such a good movie.
Good.
Oh, yeah.
It was pretty good.
Bi-week salute your sports. We're talking about chocolate bars and
Spider-Man. Spider-Verse. Halloween. We should talk about chocolate
and
Spider-Man on Halloween.
All right, so
Halloween
I guess sticking with...
Then. What's the best costume you've seen on campus?
Best costume I've seen on campus.
I've ever seen on campus.
Never seen a costume on campus. I don't know.
At a party, downtown, I don't know.
I saw a little dog dressed up like a little caterpillar. That was fun.
Oh, my gosh.
I enjoyed that.
Nice. But I guess sticking with the Halloween stuff... Are Halloween movies good or are they overrated?
So
the movies that like you know come out in the cinema on Halloween.
They're usually not very good. However, I mean,
do you like go to see them? Is what I mean.
The last good movie I saw in like late October might have actually been the Halloween movie last year, which actually was very good. Really went back to the roots of the franchise, but usually late October horror movies are not very good.
Yeah.
Like my favorite horror movies of the last 4 or 5 years have all come out not in October.
Yeah, that's pretty. Yeah, because you don't really need like the mystique of "Ooh, it's October, get spooky, y'all." Here's a horror movie for you.
Here's the 17th Saw movie.
Hey, man.
Yeah, see, that's what I'm saying. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. Never really took much to it.
Here's Paranormal Activity, but this time it's in 3D.
Ooh, shoot.
I mean,
that's good.
That's the weird thing about movies and everything is, like, I'm very rarely seeing movies in 3D now. Like, 3D is, like, no longer available in cinemas, at least I go to.
Well, even the theater that I go to a lot at home, which we have, like, a big AMC at home that has, like, IMAX and Dolby Cinema and all that fun stuff, they don't show anything in 3D anymore. It's all in 2D.
Yeah. Well, yeah, because I feel like the whole, like, real D slash 3D slash whatever thing has kind of, like, died down.
I people did 3D buy tickets for a movie in 3D in December and then to Star Wars. But I feel like Star Wars is just the exception to the rule.
I saw Doctor Strange in 3D.
I did see Doctor Strange in 3D.
That was a good decision.
And that was a very good decision.
I saw Spider-Verse in 3D for my second viewing, was fun.
Yeah, I dig that.
The best format I've ever seen a movie in is in New York City. They have, like, a real IMAX screen up on the Upper West Side. Ooh. I'm not talking, like, one of those, like, configured auditoriums.
You know,
built for
the local theater?
Yeah. We're talking, like, a huge IMAX screen that's, like, about as wide as the Student Center.
Whew.
And I saw a movie that was filmed almost entirely in IMAX on said movie screen. That movie was Dunkirk.
Interesting.
And oh, interesting.
Fantastic.
Dang, that kind of slaps.
It was so intense, you felt like you were there.
Yeah.
And, like, the seats are shaking, and at the end of the movie, I mean, this is a New York audience. We're usually pretty finicky. We all got up and clapped for like a solid 3 minutes.
Makes sense.
That's cool. I don't think I've clapped in movies since, shoot, I don't know.
I clapped at Endgame.
I also clapped at Endgame.
When did I clap? Oh, yeah, I remember. I clapped during Godzilla, the first one in 2014.
Oh, when Godzilla shows up at the airport?
No, when he does the atomic
CPR.
Breath. Yeah, when he does the... It was either during the first time he pulled out the atomic breath or when he left.
Are you a big Godzilla fan?
Yes.
Did you see the new one?
Yes, I did.
I thought it was okay.
I thought it was fine.
First one was better.
Yeah, I'm inclined to agree, even though I like...
The first one grew on
I like
me.
All the monsters more, but yeah.
Yeah, so the interesting thing about the first Godzilla, that one came out in 2014, I didn't see it, but I had friends who saw it, and they said it was not good. Like,
dang.
At
it
all.
Depends. Do you like nonstop incoherent monster action, in which so you'd like the second movie? Do you want like a more thoughtful blockbuster that really raises the tension, and then when they finally show Godzilla in all his glory, it's spectacular, but they leave you wanting more of him? You watch the first movie. Monster movies are a dying breed. And I don't know. I mean, the first Godzilla was good. Kong was good.
Also, I watched Kong Skull Island in a Spanish class, I think.
Also, John C. Reilly is
Oh, yeah. Great. He was really great in that.
Can act. Pacific Rim 1 is fantastic. Pacific Rim 2 is terrible.
Pacific Rim Uprising.
I haven't seen Pacific Rim 2, so.
Pacific Rim 1 is great.
Oh, yeah. That movie rules.
Well, also, Guillermo del Toro is great.
Yep.
Any other
arguments here?
Any monster movies that I'm missing?
Here's one. How about an episode of Or Not real quick?
Ooh.
That's right. We got another installment of Or Not. Can I take the chair real quick so I can sort of like lean into like the genre of what we're doing?
Because
since we don't have the Who Wants to Be a Millionaire thing, I figured I should pull up some appropriate music in time. So
I was looking for the music. Couldn't find it. Chris?
Yeah, here's some good audio of us shifting seats and places real quick.
While they do that, of course, I'll talk about... So the last time I clapped at a movie theater was Endgame,
okay,
of course, when Cap was wheeling Mjolnir. Spoiler alert.
When he gets the hammer? Yeah.
Yeah.
I might have clapped at the end of Far From Home when...
You clapped at the end of Far From Home?
At the... J.K. Simmons. That's all
I'm
gonna
say. Yeah, me too.
When they brought him back, I saw that movie in like a little puny theater in Maine. And it was, when he showed up, I
just absolutely lost it.
Yeah, and I said a couple things that would have to be bleeped here. So, moving forward, J.K. Simmons, shout out to you.
It's time for Or Not, folks. And today's topic, I tried to keep it Halloween related, and I think I succeeded.
What is this?
That's right, folks. We're talking about Scooby-Doo villains.
I don't watch Scooby-Doo.
It'll be fine. Then Cole should have an easy time then.
I barely watched as a kid, so I'm lost right
okay,
now.
Okay, so
you gotta be kidding.
Okay. I need you guys to tell me if this person, this antagonist, is a Scooby-Doo villain or not.
Okay, let's
go. I got
go.
9 innings.
We'll both fail.
All right, Chris, I want the ball and I'm going to score.
All right. All righty. Okay, starting off, Minor 49er. Is that a
That's not a Scooby-Doo villain.
Wrong. It is a Scooby-Doo villain.
No, it's my turn now. So is this just in the animated TV show or is this also movies? Yeah.
Just like regular cartoons.
Okay. I'll still fail, but whatever.
Okay. Charlie the Robot, a Scooby-Doo villain, yes or no?
False.
Incorrect. Also a Scooby-Doo villain. Okay, so we're tied up at zero. Not optimal. Huh?
Well, it did snow this morning. Keep it. Keep it.
All right.
Keep it or...
I guess we're auto-playing this stuff. Anyways, up next. I can't focus. I can't focus with Christmas music playing right now.
A new one just begun.
Inning number two. Top of the second. Blue Stone the Great.
He's not a Scooby-Doo villain.
Incorrect.
Are these all just Scooby-Doo villains?
I don't know.
I know you wouldn't do four times in a row.
0-0, bottom of the second. You don't know that. You don't know that, Cole. So, up next, Moltar. Is he a Scooby-Doo villain, yes or no?
It sounds like one, but once again, you wouldn't do four times in a row, so I'm saying no.
That's correct. Moltar is from Space Ghost. All right. That's right. Cole on the board right here. 1-0. Advantage Tucson. So you gotta get
some.
Yeah,
I know.
If you want to stay in the game, you're very annoyed right now. It rules. Okay. Clyde 49.
No.
Ding, ding, ding. That's correct.
What's he from?
From Toonami. Just a little. So back in the day, Toonami used to be hosted by a CGI version of Moltar, and Clyde 49 would be his little sidekick. And they'd review video games and anime, things of that nature. It also was fun. Back in like the early 2000s.
Jeez, I'm too young for this.
Anyways, up next, Cole Tucson, Zorak. Scooby-Doo villain, yes or no?
No.
Ding, 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 that is correct. Zorak, again, Space Ghost villain. / Space Ghost Coast to Coast co-host. Up next, okay, I think it's 2-1, Advantage Tucson.
It is.
I feel like you just need like, I'm going to say you need like 9.
Well, how many do you have?
I have 9 innings, so I have 18 options. So.
Oh, my goodness. Just keep going.
That's right. Up next, Zach Berman, Captain Cutler, Scooby-Doo villain, yes or no?
I think he is. Hold on. Yeah, he is.
Ding, ding, ding. That's correct.
He's a ghost.
That's right. 2-2. Are you looking it up right now?
No, I'm not.
you're not looking it up. You're just scrolling through Twitter. Okay, that's fine. Tucson, Mr. Leech. This is Scooby-Doo villain. Ding, 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 ding. That's correct.
3 in a row.
That's right. 3-2 advantage Tucson. Up next, Zach Berman, Big Bob Oakley. Scooby-Doo villain, yes or no?
No.
Incorrect. Cole Tucson, Myron Reducto. Scooby-Doo villain, yes or no?
No.
That is correct.
My logic with that one was it sounded way too complicated for it to be a kid's show villain. Like, imagine kids trying to say that name.
I guess it's not too out of the ordinary. Anyways, Myron Reducto from Harvey Birdman, Attorney at Law. Love that show so much. Zach Berman. Evelyn Spyro Throckmorton. Scooby-Doo villain, yes or no?
What?
Evelyn Spyro Throckmorton. Incorrect. Also from Harvey Birdman, Attorney at Law.
I don't watch cartoons!
It's okay, then. This will be over soon. I feel like you just need, like, 2 more points if Berman continues to throw up donuts. Zeb Perkins, Scooby-Doo villain, yes or no?
No.
I'm going to go with no.
Unfortunately, he is not.
Yeah.
Up next, top of the whatever. X the Eliminator, Zach Berman.
It's the what?
X the Eliminator.
Yes.
Incorrect. Also a Harvey Birdman villain.
Oh, my gosh.
Colt Husing, Mr. Greenway.
Yes.
That is correct. Okay, so if you throw up another donut in Husing, well, yeah, that should be it. Zach Berman, Phil Ken 7. Scooby-Doo villain, yes or no?
Yes.
Nope. Incorrect, unfortunately. Sorry, Berman. Husing. All right, this is it.
You can take it home. These are all from Harvey Birdman.
You can take it home right here. The Ghost of Redbeard, Scooby-Doo villain, yes or nah?
Yes.
That is correct. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Congratulations, Colt Husing.
You put me out of misery quickly.
What did I win?
Respect and admiration from everybody around the
world.
You
want a rock.
All right, cool.
In the spirit of
I will gladly take that rock.
All right, that's cool. Yeah, I think we're going to take another quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk about...
Statements of the Week.
Yeah, I guess we should do Statements of the Week or a spooky, spooky edition of Airing Your Grievances if we want. Anyways, this is Salute Your Sports here on KCLU 88.1 FM and KCLU.fm. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Oh, nice brisket.
Sports? If you answered yes, make sure to tune in each and every Friday to listen to Mid-Missouri's premier sports talk show, The Hot Corner. From 8 to 9 a.m., tune in on KCOU 88.1 FM or KCOU.FM.
A ranger station.
I'd like to report a bear hug.
Okay.
I put out my campfire and Smokey Bear hugged me.
So you drowned the fire, you stirred it, drowned it again, and felt that it was cold?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, but he's just letting you know you did good.
Bear hug from Smokey Bear. Status update.
I'm gonna let you go now. There are many ways to start a fire, but one sure way to put it out. Learn how you can do your part at SmokeyBear.com.
Sponsored by the U.S. Forest Service Ad Council and your state forester.
Life can be dramatic, but day-to-day relationships aren't always like you see on TV. You can help the young people in your life work through the drama by engaging them in conversations about healthy relationships. Use Connect With Me activity cards to start discussions on this subject and other topics that matter to teens. Visit health.mo.gov/connect to access these free cards and resources.
A message from the Missouri Department of Health and Senior Services.
Ray Parker Jr. Here we go with Ghostbusters.
Darkness falls across the land. The funk of 40,000 years. And Mizzou football.
What's the name of this remix?
It's called Bustin'. From, I believe it's from Neil Cicierga's Mouth Moods album. It's an incredible remix. Incredible album. I listen to it probably once or twice a month. This is chock full of stuff. Anyways, this is Salute Your Sports. I'm Chris Mitchell. Zach Berman, back on his phone. Colt Husing,
trying
over there.
To find this song.
It's called Bustin'.
It's on YouTube. The thumbnail is like Ray Parker Jr.'s face. Anyways, as we're winding down here, right before the Pulse, which is coming up next, by the way, 5 o'clock Central Standard Time. Don't miss it. Got some news for you from our news department. Always throwing up aces, things of that nature. It's time to talk about airing of grievances. What are we beefing with today? What's our Halloween beef? That's what I'm trying to find out, and that's what I'm trying to communicate to you, viewers at home. I think I'm going to start out with Cole Tusing. Remember, keep it clean. What's your beef?
You'll have to come back to me. I'll have to think about that for a second.
Okay, Berman, you got one?
The New Jersey Devils need to fire their entire organization.
Okay.
It's just, I'm just so frustrated at this point. I got nothing left.
Brief, succinct. I like it. Perfect.
This Moving team on. Should not be the last place team in the entire NHL. And yet here they are.
I agree with that. I used to be the Coyotes like 2 years ago. And now look at them now. I think they're in the green. Go Yotes. Anyways, my airing of grievance is with the Kansas City Royals because...
Mike Matheny!
That's right. They hired Mike Matheny. I feel like deep down in my soul, I knew this was going to happen. But I still wasn't prepared to, you know, feel the existential crisis that I did this afternoon while I was trying to do my show. I felt every single Ingmar Bergman movie all at once. Because nothing about Mike Matheny's tenure with the St. Louis Cardinals, nor the aftermath of his tenure with the Cardinals, showed to me that he should be anywhere near the Royals organization. I feel like the only reason he's there is to just be more or less a yes man for Dayton Moore. His press conference was also later this afternoon. I caught a little bit of it. He seems more open to analytics. He seems more open to the fact that he wants to keep the culture that the Royals have right now going. But frankly, it's way too early to tell. Right now, I'm just going to be more concerned with what I've seen from Matheny rather than wondering if he can, you know, talk the talk instead of walk the walk. Because I don't know if he can really do that because I feel like we've been over this last time with the Cardinals anyways. Cole Tusing, you got yours.
So I got mine, and of course we talked a lot about, you know, Mizzou with like Kentucky, Vanderbilt, all these like road losses and how the season has gone as a whole, you know, the Kelly Bryant issues. But my air, my grievances is going to be about the Bears. And okay. Of course, you know, yeah, I'm a Bears fan, so
yeah, I watched.
You
got
to talk about Matt Nagy. You got to talk about Trubisky.
You got to talk about
that loss against the Chargers, against the Raiders.
Nagy icing his own kicker.
Right. None of those things should have happened. Like when David Montgomery, the rookie out of Iowa State, is putting up numbers, going for 200 yards, one touchdown, and you're not scoring in the red zone on the 1 yard line. You're not scoring a touchdown, and you're just, you know, going with the field goals. And the final field goal that was missed by Eddie Pinheiro, it was not centered, and you had 40 seconds to maybe get off one or two more plays, but Matt Nagy just ices his own kicker, as you put it, and we're sitting at a solid last place in the NFC North, which should not happen, because if you remember last year, we were 13-3, and we had Super Bowl hopes.
Yeah, I feel like a lot of that also depended on Mitch Trubisky making a progression, but whatever. We can talk about that at some other point. That's a... Anyways, enjoy Teddy Bridgewater next year, Cole. Anyways, thank you so much for joining us here on Salute Your Sports. For Cole Tusing, for Zach Berman, I'm Chris Mitchell. Thank you all so much. We will be back again next week with some Mizzou, Georgia topics to talk about. Probably going to talk about some women's basketball because they would probably have tipped off against Northern Illinois at that point. It'll be great. We'll all enjoy it. Probably more than talk about Mizzou football. So without further ado, don't thank you guys so much. Stay warm out there. Eat a lot of candy. Happy Halloween. See you next time.